Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The interpretation when Miss Pauline was speaking in the spirit, speaking in tongues, and Patty gave some, but Jody, I also heard, I am that I am. And it aligns with what Patty said, I am that I am. That's what I kept hearing, I am that I am. So he is what he is.
Yeah.
He is what you need.
Yeah.
I am that I am. So whomever needs that, whether it's someone in here physically in the building or someone out there in social media land, God says, I am that I am. He's whatever we need. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you and we come before you and we're praising you and we're thanking you for who you are. You are am that I am, and we thank you for that you are everything that we need. And Father God, right now we come before you and we just thank you and we just bind every scheme, every attack, and every assignment the enemy has sent to come against us, our families, our church, Lord. We bind it right now and we loose your peace. We loose your power, Father God, and we just thank you. Holy Spirit, have your way. Come on up in here and have a good old time with us. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way up in this place. We feel your presence here now, Father, and we just thank you for dwelling with us, for spending time with us here this evening, Father. And we thank you, Father God, all of you and none of me. You speak through me. I am just a willing, empty vessel that's willing to speak on your behalf right now, Father God. You use me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Initially, the title of my message was going to be Agreement. And as I was in bed last night, getting ready to get a good night's sleep, God dropped in my spirit ABCD. Like, ABCD, we singing the alphabets here now? And ABCD, so that's the title of my message. And ABCD is agreement, believing, choice, and desire. ABCD. So we're going to learn ABCD. We're going to get a little in depth with ABCD. All right? So that's what God dropped in my spirit last night, and I didn't want to forget what he said, so I sent myself a quick text. I need to start back doing what pastors said, keep a notebook right by your bed, but I sent myself a quick text so I wouldn't forget. ABCD. ABCD. Well, my three base scriptures for this teaching is going to come from Mark 11:24, Amos 3:3, and Matthew 18:19. And I'm going to refer to these scriptures throughout the teaching. And I'm also going to read them from different versions, again, because we can get a better understanding. Where one person can understand one, another person may not, but they can understand another one. So I'm going to read all three of these in from different versions, just so we can get a better understanding of it. Mark 11:24, the NIV. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Amos 3:3, the New Living Translation. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Matthew 18:19, in the Message Version. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. I am that I am. He goes into action. You know, and at the same time with all of this, God has given us free will. We have a choice to do this or do that, to believe his word or not, to do what he has stated in his word or not. We have a choice. We clearly have a choice. We have free will. We have desires in our hearts that we want to see to come to fruition. What are we saying? What or who are we in agreement with? We have to think about that. What are we choosing? We have desires for our loved ones, But do they have those same desires? Parents, speaking to myself, we have things that we want our children to do, to you know, or what have you, but is that what God has called them to do? And is that what their desire is? We need to line up. Are we pushing or trying to push our desires on others? Are we trying to manipulate them? That's witchcraft right there, but that's another whole subject. Are we trying to do that? That, because that is not what Mark 11:24 states. It states in the Living Bible, listen to me, you can pray for anything, and if you believe it, you have it, it's yours. He didn't say about praying something for somebody else.
Right.
Praying for yourself for something, your desires of your heart, of our heart. Someone else, I can tell you the desires of my heart and we can come into agreement with it. But don't be putting your desires on somebody else. That may not be what they're desiring, including somebody's trying to pick somebody's husband or wife. I'm going to leave that alone right there. When we pray for something, do we really want it? Do we really and truly want it? Kenneth Hagin stated in his book, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. And y'all, this is an awesome book. I have so much stuff highlighted and what have you. And this is really where this message came from. Just one chapter is where this message came from. But in the book, he stated this. I'm reading it verbatim. Many times people have prayed or requested prayer. And when things did not work out, they said, I don't know whether or not I really wanted that anyway. Okay, well, that's the reason it didn't work. Because you were shady in your prayers. You didn't know. You didn't know. So that's the reason it did not work. How often have we all done this? I know I have. Just shady in the prayers. Just real shady. How often have we done that? How many times have we missed out on God opportunities? On God things, because we really did not believe what we were praying, or what we had someone praying with us or for us about. How many times have we missed out on God opportunities because we didn't truly take to heart Mark 11:24? We did not take that to heart. And at times, you know, we ask others to pray for us. We think if they can believe enough for us, you got to walk it out by yourself. You got to walk this thing out. And there are times when others can rely on the prayers of others. Baby Christians, for instance, they can ride on the faith and the prayers of others because they're baby Christians. They're learning. Just like a newborn baby, they still need their parents. So they have to rely on their parents to do this and do that for them, fix their food, change their diapers, or whatever the case may be. So in that same instance, baby Christians, yeah, they can ride on the faith of others. They truly can. Until God know that they're ready to walk it out by themselves. Not us. We always want to go with the age of 12 because that's when Jesus started getting his revelation on what he's, you know, supposed to be doing when he was in the temple. But that may not be for everybody. It could be a five-year-old. Could have a revelation of who God is and what he does. But see, God knows the heart. We're just looking at a number. But God knows the heart. But God knows when someone is ready to be kicked out of the nest and fly on their own.
That's right.
He knows. Not us. He knows. And in the book, and I'm going to read this, and this is a little lengthy, but it's good. It's a little lengthy, but it's good. And it's about Kenneth Hagin's wife. When they were married in 1939, November 1939, and like a month or so later, she got a sore throat. And she said to him, the first real cold spell that comes every year, I get a sore throat. I can imagine her saying that. I can imagine myself saying that. I have it all winter. I'm going to have it all winter. I have to go to the doctor and get my throat swabbed. That was the treatment at that time. She was a Christian. She had recently been filled with the Holy Spirit, but she never had been taught about faith and healing. Therefore, I knew that in these things that she was a spiritual baby and I could carry her. I could make it work for her at this stage of her spiritual development. So think about that, people's spiritual development. So we cannot assume that someone is at a certain level or whatever because of their age. Again, we cannot assume that. Just because they're at a certain age, someone could be a spiritual baby at the age of 50, at the age of 60, at the age of 70. Don't assume. So he said to her, no, we won't go to the doctor. We won't have your throat swabbed. That chronic throat problem will leave you and it will never come back. He did not pray. He just spoke the word. I just said it, and he said it based on Mark 11:23. Something you just need to speak to. Because God has already given us a scripture or something. We just need to speak to it, not necessarily pray about it. Right. We just need to speak to it. And he spoke to that situation right there, and based on Mark 11:23, saying, whatsoever shall I say, I shall not doubt in this heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he saith. Some things you got to speak to. Some things you got to speak to. The sore throat left and it never has come back is what he stated. And I believe that. 10 years later, his wife had some physical problems and the doctor said she needed surgery. He thought that she could ride out on his faith again. Nope. But this time he could not make it work. No matter how much I said it, she still had all of her physical problems and she needed surgery. Why didn't it work? Was it because I was not a believer, he said? Was it because my faith did not work? No. It was because she had 10 years of spiritual growth. She had sat for 10 years under the teaching of the Word of God. God expected her to learn. Okay, side journey. And God just brought this to me. There are people that have been in a church for eons of years, but have not learned the true word of God. They are still spiritual babes. They could be a deacon on the board, a deaconess, or whatever. They could be the pastor of the church, but they still have not taught the word of God. So therefore, they are spiritual babes. And sometimes you can tell by what comes out of their mouth, because it's not the word at all. Is a sprinkle a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of world, a little bit of word. That ain't the word. That ain't the word. Okay. She said about it later, I had not even tried to develop my faith. I just always thought Kenneth would have faith. He will do it. And that sometimes that goes back to sometimes children. They think they can just ride on their parents' faith. Oh, my mom, my dad, they got this. They gonna cover me. Nah, boo-boo, it's time for you to step up to the plate. You getting kicked out of the nest. No. Kenneth Hagin said, I kept praying about it. I kept trying to get her to believe and not to have the surgery. I kept trying to get her to the place of healing, but I just could not. Number one, that wasn't his job. That's between her and God. But he just thought she could still ride on his faith. Finally, I said, all right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I can't get you up to my level of faith, so I will come down to your level and we'll start believing there. What can you believe? That is awesome. Uh-huh. So why do we get frustrated with folks who don't believe how we believe?
That's right.
Why are you allowing situations to steal your peace when folks can't believe where you are believing? You may be believing for a total healing. They may be believing, I just want to get through this surgery.
Uh-huh.
You may be believing for them to get X, Y, Z, and they're happy with A, B, C.
Uh-huh.
Ask, what can you believe? She said, I can start out believing that God would see me safely through the operation. He said, okay, I will agree with you. Not necessarily praying. She said what she believed. He said, I'm in agreement with you. We're two or more gathered. where two or more come into agreement, they came into agreement. We found something we could agree on. We agreed that she would come out fine. In fact, I said in my prayer of agreement that she would come out through so well the doctors would be astounded. And the doctors were. She didn't take any pain. She didn't want any pain meds. One doctor kind of forced a shot on her. She didn't really want it, but she did because that's what the doctor did. And she was fine. She was fine. And I also want to say this, too, because some people may say that it's made. As I was reading that, I wrote a little note up here when he said, I can't get you up to my level of faith, so I would come down to your level. That is not demeaning, and that is not arrogant. That is just being real. It is not mean, and it is not arrogant. Because some people may say, oh, he was just being this, that, and the other. No, he wasn't. Not at all. He was meeting her where her faith was, where she could believe God. Because that's the same place that God is meeting her, so why should we do any different? God is going to meet her where her faith is, and her faith was for God to bring her through the surgery and be just fine, and that she was. So they was in agreement with that. He was not being demeaning to her, and he was not being ugly or rude, and he was not being so arrogant at all. And I just wanted to call that out. He was just trying to meet her where her faith was and come into agreement with her where she could believe, and she came out fine. She was fine. So that's where she started her building block of building her faith. That's where she started. So where can we start building our building blocks of faith? We don't have to start up here because you may not be there yet. Right. I may not be there yet. Right. I may have to start, Lord, okay, I just need you to help me drive this vehicle to where I need to go. I need you to be with me. Start where, don't try to get on somebody else's level.
That's right.
Start where you are. Be honest with yourself. Don't lie to yourself. That's just crazy. Be honest with yourself. Where you are in your walk. Be honest with yourself. And Jesus did this with the blind man. Jesus knew the man was blind. Uh-huh. He knew it. Jesus asked him, what you want? That's Wonder's version. What you want? Because he wanted to see, where is your faith at? Where are you? Because he could have asked for a cane. He could have asked for somebody to help him walk, or help him to get a little helper to help him out. He could have asked for that, but no, the man said, I want to see. All right, then, we got something to work with here. Jesus met him where his faith was, and his faith was that he wanted to see. So if Jesus did that, what's up with us? We ain't better than him. Just saying. He asked him, what do you want? He was trying to see where his faith was. God knows what we need, but he just wants to see, where is our faith? But we have to be honest with ourselves as well. He already knows. What are we believing him for that comes into alignment with his word? We can carry our children when they are young, but it comes to a point in their life, they must become more spiritually aware of God, who he is, and his word. We have to do that. And as Kenneth Hagin stated in his book as well, and when I say his book, I am always referring to this book and this message here, this one with him, what to do when faith seems weak and victory lost. So when I say that, this is the book that I'm referring to, everyone. And in his book, he stated, there are some folks who just want to ride on others' faith, not exercising their own faith. They don't want to work at it. They don't want to work at it. They don't want to put in the work to build their faith, to get those building blocks going. They don't want to do that. They want to ride on the pastor's faith. Oh, let me call pastor. Something's going on. Let me call. No, you call pastor, tell him what's going on, and ask him to come into agreement with you. This is the situation. This is what I'm believing for. They'll come into agreement with me. And if you don't know what to say or what have pastors, this is my situation. What is the scripture I can stand on for this situation if you don't know it? So you both can come into agreement. You can't ride on pastor's faith when it comes to that. It's not going to work. And you're going to be mad at God because it didn't work. But God had nothing to do with that. What are you believing? What are you believing? But we can't do that. They want to ride on the pastor's faith, the intercessor's faith, mom and daddy's faith. You can't do that. It comes to a point where you've got to ride on your own faith.
That's right.
You gotta exercise. You gotta ride out. You gotta walk it out yourself. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And yes, it does work. It does work. We just have to be on the right road of faith. And Kenneth Hagin mentioned in his book, you're on the road to Canada and you're trying to get to Mexico. That ain't gonna work. You will never get to Mexico on the road to Canada. Check your GPS, your God Protection Services. Check your GPS when you get on the road. Check your GPS. Make sure you're on the right road of what you're saying. Check your heart. Check your heart. It's a heart thing. You know, we can all come into agreement as well, as it states in Amos 3:3 and Matthew 18:19. Amos 3:3 says in the Message version, do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? Think about a young child when you're going into Walmart. I remember, you know, holding the kids' hands, going to Walmart. I'm trying to go get groceries. They want to go over to the toys. But we're holding the hands. We're holding hands, but we got two different plans when we come up into Walmart. We ain't in agreement here. But they want to go that direction, and they're pulling you. That's what it looks like when we're asking someone to come into agreement, but our direction is this way, and they're thinking this way. But that's when we need to ask, what can you believe, so we can both walk together in the same direction. And in Matthew 18:19, in the Amplified Version, it says, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Just got to be real with yourself. Got to be real with yourself. As Kenneth Hagin, and again, states in the book, he said, I am believing and you are hoping. I thought that was just awesome. I am believing this for you, but you are just hoping it happened. There's no agreement there. You know, have you ever prayed with someone or even had someone to pray for you? And at the end of it, you know, like Kenneth Hagin said, he asked them, is it done? And he said, I have asked you, do you believe that what we have just prayed? And they respond, I hope so. That is not in agreement. You can't be hoping so. You can't be hoping so. That's not an agreement. I have said that at times on purpose. I've said it. I hope so. I hope it work out. But that ain't faith. That ain't believing God. Like he said, I'm believing and you're hoping. What's up with that? And I want to break that down a little bit, because there is a difference between belief and hope. And hope is in the Bible. There's a time for it when you hope. But there's different definitions too. You can't be hoping it happens. You got to believe God at his word that it's going to happen. You know, and I want to break that down a little bit, because we sometimes use them interchangeably, and we really can't in most instances, and we kind of blur the lines between the two. But the Greek verb translated believe is to be fully persuaded. The Greek noun pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, or believing, is a firm persuasion, a firmly relying confidence. You just know that you know that you know. It ain't no wavering. You got confidence. I know my God's going to do this, y'all. I don't care what you know. Don't care what you say. I know my God is going to do this. That kind of faith. When you block out all the noise.
That's right.
I know my God is going to do this. When you block out all the naysayers. And the noun hope means the expectation of something future. Hope means intend, if possible, to do something. So we are saying, God, you know, if you want to do this, you know, if you decide that you want to do this for me, you know, help us list out, God, you know. No, that's not believing. You're truly hoping. And God do want to help a sister out. Not if you want to. No. If it's in his word, he wants to do it. If it's in his word, he wants to do it. And when, you know, and we have a tendency when we pray for someone, we join hands. we lay hands on them, because that's a physical expression of our spirits coming into agreement and uniting, is what Kenneth Hagin said in the book. It's an outward expression of our spirits agreeing, becoming in agreement with prayer based on God's word. So it's good if you can grab the person's hand, if you can, to come into agreement with. It's just an outward expression of agreement. And at the end of the day, but if one person is not in agreement, it's not gonna work. And at the end of the day, we all have free will. We have a choice. We cannot come into true agreement with each other. When we do come into true agreement with each other, some mighty things can happen. Some mighty things can happen. If you think about back in Genesis 11:16, they came into agreement building that tower to heaven, but their motives was wrong. They wanted to make themselves known. They were unified, but not for good.
That's right.
Just imagine for once, y'all. Just imagine for once if us Christians unify for good. Mm-hmm. Truly come into agreement with the word of God. We can live out Amos 3:3. We can live out Matthew 18:19. What if we truly come into agreement with that, with God's word, when we say in our confessions at the beginning of the service, when we're speaking these confessions, I was hoping they would still be up here, when we're speaking the confessions and when we're speaking our offering of thanks, what if we truly, because our confessions at the beginning and our offering is word, it's biblical, uh-huh. It's God's promises to us, just in a different verbiage, but it's still word.
That's right.
It's still words. So what if we truly, truly come into agreement and believe what we're saying? And believe what we're saying. You know, we declare and we speak the same thing. There's no division among us. We are a unified body of believers. We declare that you confirm your word with signs following. We declare that Oasis is the place of healing, restoration, and refreshing. We declare that workmen are called to Oasis in abundance. We declare that the people and families of Oasis are mature believers and not spiritual babes tossed to and fro. We speak health and prosperity all of our members. We speak strong marriages and divine connections. The people of Oasis walk in the favor of God and the favor of man. What if, what if we truly became and come in agreement with this? What would happen? What if? What would happen if we believe, as I tithe and I give my offerings, I believe and I receive for jobs and better jobs, for raises and bonuses, for benefits, for sales and commissions, for favorable settlements, for interest and income, for rebates and returns, discounts and dividends, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off. What if? What if? What if we truly come into agreement with God? What if? If we truly come into agreement and we truly walk out Amos 3:3 and Matthew 18:19, what if, just imagine, what if, glory to God, hallelujah. This next part of my message is going to be a little tough, but praise God, I am going to get through this. There are times that we are believing for our loved ones to live, but they are ready to go. Kenneth Hagin stated in his book, some people just get tired after a while. They would rather go on than stay here. It is not a matter of faith or prayer not working. It is just a matter of their desires and their will. And you cannot push your desires off on someone or your will off on someone else. This is painful to let our loved ones go. But once they get that glimpse of glory, they want to go home. They want to go home. There are some who have come back to us, you know, and they tell us about it, which is awesome. And I truly believe that. I truly believe that. And this happened to Kenneth Hagin's niece, who was involved in an auto accident. And she was getting better, and she believed that she was praying in the spirit, and she got so close to the glory world that she did not want to come back here, and she went on to glory. He also talked about a young youth minister who was burned really bad. They expected him to die within 45 minutes of arriving at the ER, but the young man heard them talking that he was going to die, and he kind of pulled the doctor's pants leg. And he told him, "I will live and not die. God will help." And when his body would have these spasms and different things, he would pray in the spirit, because from being burned so severely, he would pray in the spirit and he would sing in the spirit. And he had some type of thingy attached to him, so you could hear it over like the nurse's station throughout the hospital. You can hear, but he would, and sometimes it would last for an hour because that's how much pain he was in at the time. And Kenneth Hagin said that he lived for quite a few weeks, and the doctors had said there was no medical reasons for him to die, but he did. He told his wife before he died that he was singing in tongues and had a vision as if the ceiling opened, and he saw heavenly Jerusalem, and he wanted to go. So he transitioned. They wanted both individuals to live. They did. Their families did. But there was, their desire was to go on. What if we could just come into agreement with God's word? You know, we can't put our desires, our will on someone else. We just got to come into agreement with them. And what if we come into agreement on the same page, speaking the same thing, great things can happen. You know, and there are times that, there's times that we have spoken things into existence, you know, and Pastor Rock talked about his dad indicated that he was only going to live to see Pastor Rock reach a certain age. Was it 16?
Four heart attacks when I was 5 years old.
Okay. Okay. He wanted to see you. Okay. He had several heart attacks. But when he became a believer, he wanted to live long enough to see Pastor Rock see the age of 21. And he did. He was a Christian. He believed God. But he had already spoke it, but he didn't reverse what he had spoke.
Right.
He could have,
right.
But he had already spoken it.
That's right.
And he lived, he got what he said.
That's right.
He got what he said.
That's right.
One of my cousins, and if I'm not mistaken, one of my cousins, and he was killed back in 1995, if I'm not, 1995, and he had indicated for a while that he would not live to see either 19 or 20, and he didn't. But he spoke it into existence, and I love him dearly. He got on my nerves. He was a little nuisance, but I love him. I love him. I love him. One of my favorite cousins. I love him. But we can't put our desires and will on someone else. I'm sure, you know, if Pastor Rock knew what to tell his dad when he heard his dad saying that, he would have said, "Dad, don't say that. You're going to live a long life." You know, but at that time, that's just where his dad's faith was. That's just where his faith. And so, where's our faith? What are we believing? What are we can't force our beliefs, our desires, our will on anyone else. We cannot do that. As hard as it is to accept it, this is what they spoke, as it states in Mark 11:23. But we just got to come into agreement. And as Kenneth Hagin stated, we must work on people and talk them out of dying and talk them into living. You know, and he talked about this 82-year-old woman who was diagnosed with cancer. And he said that he did not just pray with her at first. He talked to her and gave her scriptures. One of the things that stood out to me is that she told him that she had lived her life out. She was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. "Just let me go." He said, "I'm not going to do it. Let God heal you and then die if you want to, but don't die like this. God won't get any glory out of this." He had to talk her out of dying first, before she could be healed. After a few more visits with her, he finally talked her out of dying and into living, and she was healed instantly. And he stated in his book that she was dancing and she was cancer-free. She died at 94, without sickness or disease. God got the glory out of that. They saw God do a miraculous thing. We must understand ABCD. Agreement, believing, choice, and desire. We need to make sure whomever we are praying for, we are all in agreement with what the word is stating. The person we're praying for and us, that we're in agreement with what the word states. Ensure we are believing what God has said. As Christians, we still have a choice, free will to make whatever decisions we want to make. Do we sincerely, and Kenneth Hagin stated this in the book, do we sincerely desire the benefits of God that we're asking him for? Do we sincerely desire it? Come into agreement with God, believe in what he has said, making the right choice, so those desires we have will come to fruition. Be mindful of what we are saying. And I'm going to end with Mark 11:24 in the Passion Version. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Be convinced that you have received it and it will be yours. Glory to God. Glory to God.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.